Tonight, I'm going to teach on prosperity. So tonight, we're going to talk about the foundations of prosperity, part two. This particular module is entitled, Your Prosperity is in the Kingdom of God. In part one, we said your prosperity is hidden in God. And we looked at scriptures saying that the glory of God was hidden in great deal unto these ending days. We looked at the scripture that says that you are the temple of God, and the glory of the latter temple will be much greater than the former. But tonight I want to focus on the fact that your prosperity is in the Kingdom of God. So, God's prosperity belongs to His children and is manifested to His children as they continue to live and speak according to the principles of the Kingdom of God. So, we're all in the family of God. We are all joint heirs with Jesus, and everything that God has belongs to Jesus and to us. It's very clear in the scriptures. So, our prosperity in God belongs to us because we are heirs of everything that God has. But that's through grace. It's the potential of everything belonging to us. Just like salvation belongs to every person on earth, all they have to do is believe it and receive it. They can't earn it. Salvation is a free gift of God that we receive through grace, by grace, through faith. Grace is God's part. The faith is our part. In a similar manner, everything that we need for life and godliness, everything we need to be an overcomer in life, has been paid for and belongs to us. That's grace. Our part is to partner with God and to receive it. And the major partnering with God to walk in His blessings, and tonight we're focusing on the blessing of prosperity, the major focus is remaining in the Kingdom of God. Understand, to remind you, that prosperity, true prosperity, is being able to meet every need by knowing how to pray to release the power of God in your life. So whether that need is for a miracle of protection in a plane that's crashing, or a miracle of healing from Ebola, for which there's no cure, or a miracle of finances to pay your rent, all these miracles are part of prosperity. Somebody who has $10 billion and is 12 hours from dying is not a prosperous person. Of all the levels of prosperity, the lowest level is financial prosperity. Nevertheless, financial prosperity is extremely important. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Therefore, money must be very important. And it is. So God wants us to be blessed in every area of our life, including finances. So tonight, I want to talk about the process of manifesting financial blessings in your life. We want to talk about what the Kingdom of God is. We have said your partnership with God to manifest in your life that which you're blessed with in heavenly places. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. To manifest that in your life, the partnership is to stay in the Kingdom of God. Therefore, we need to know what the Kingdom of God is. And we need to know how to stay in that Kingdom of God, how to continue living in the Kingdom of God. And as we do that, we see the processes whereby we receive these blessings that Jesus paid for us. Scripture said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be made rich. This is in the middle of two chapters talking about finances. So, what is the kingdom of God? Well, let's look at what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven is the place. That's where God lives. One day, we believe that all the believers will someday live with the Heavenly Father in heaven. But the kingdom of heaven is not the same as the kingdom of God, although many people use them synonymously. The kingdom of God is any state where God has dominion and authority. Good example is comparing in the heydays of the British Empire. The expression was, the sun never set on the British Empire, because the British Empire extended around the world. But the seat of that empire was in England, in Great Britain. So, the queen or the monarch, the ruling government was in England. But the empire stretched around the world. The empire stretched anywhere the British Army and British Navy had dominion. And wherever they had that dominion, they took the principles of the kingdom of Britain and enforced it. That's why today we find people all over the world speaking English with the Queen's English. Okay? You pick up the phone and somebody answers the phone. You call helpline, and the answer is, and the person is speaking English better than you are. And you say, where are you? And you know they're someplace far overseas, right? That's the influence of the empire. In the same way, God's residence is in heaven, but his kingdom extends wherever he has dominion and authority. Now, I assume he has dominion and authority in the entire universe except for Earth. Now, Earth belongs to him, but he chose to give man a lease, if you will, on Earth. He says, man, I'm putting you in charge of the Earth. You have dominion and authority over the Earth. So because he gave his word that man has authority and dominion over the Earth, he doesn't have authority and dominion over the Earth. So everything that happens on Earth, God partners with a man. Generic man, man slash woman. That's why in Hebrews 11 verse 7, I believe, says that Noah condemned the Earth. Noah condemned the Earth, thereby bringing on the flood. So the kingdom of God is anywhere that God has control. But since God has given control to you over your body, over your life, over your possessions, where you live, you in turn have to turn it back over to God. So God, today I would like your kingdom to be in my house. Today I give you my house. I give you my body. I give you everything I think, say, and do. And we do that for about 10 seconds, and then we say words that are displeasing to God, and we take it back. So the process of staying in the kingdom is the process of keep turning it back over to God. You know, people say, well, God is in control. Well, if God is in control, why are people going to hell every day? The Bible makes it very clear, it's the will of God that none should perish, but all should be saved. Well, people go to hell every day. Why? Because they have free will, and they have the dominion and authority over themselves and all that pertains to them. Even the government recognizes their authority over their home and their vehicle and things that belong to them. So God, kingdom of God is anywhere God has authority and dominion. So the kingdom of God includes the kingdom of heaven, because God has authority and dominion there. But it doesn't include any person, any being, any angel, which would be a demon, that has exercised free will to be disobedient to God. Satan and his demons exercised free will and decided, we don't want to follow God. So his kingdom doesn't extend over them. Except they didn't get free will in the same way that we did. Okay? So God gave us free will, and we have a choice to make. When they rebel from God, they had the right to rebel, Well, they don't have the right not to be swatted by God because they rebel. God can swat them. Why has he not swatted them? Because they chose to live among us. They chose to live in the one place on earth where God has given away his authority and dominion. They choose to live on earth. So whose responsibility is it to deal with the angels and the bad angels and the demons? It's ours because we have the authority over it. And that's why Jesus, the Word of God, came as a man to exercise that authority and dominion over the demon and to defeat the devil. And left us here to protect that peace, to enforce it. But as long as there are people on earth who are partnering with the devil has a right to be here on earth. Now, there are 69 verses in the New Testament that reference the kingdom of God. 69 verses. They're in the four Gospels and in the epistles. There are only 32 verses which reference the kingdom of heaven. Only 32. And all references to the kingdom of heaven are in the book of Matthew. All the references to the kingdom of heaven are really saying, you need to get saved. You need to book your reservation to go to heaven. Now, once you're booked to go to heaven, now you can start considering the kingdom of God around you. But until you have made your reservation to go to heaven by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and as the Messiah, then don't be concerned about the kingdom of God around you, because it ain't. It ain't around you. What's around you is the kingdom of the devil. That's why the kingdom of heaven is referenced in only in Matthew. Because Matthew is primarily the story of Jesus as a Jewish prophet. Scriptures in Matthew on the kingdom of God are primarily meant for the unsaved, especially the Jews. One of the scriptures is, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to others. So where is the kingdom of God? A kingdom is any place where the king has dominion. Now, once the king has dominion, he can do whatever he wants. When God has dominion, what we see are miracles, signs, and wonders. The more you've given dominion to God, the more you've taken what you have been given to God, is the more you see miracles, signs, and wonders in your life. The less you do that, is the less you see miracles, signs, and wonders in your life. Jesus told the scribe who had kept all these commandments, that he was not far from the kingdom of God. That's in Mark 12:34. Now, God has already given us the kingdom. Luke 12:31. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, seek the kingdom of God, and everything you need or desire will be added to you. It's in the kingdom of God that these things come to you. No, it's not seeking the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean get born again. That is just the beginning of the process. It's seek the kingdom of God and keep on seeking it. Seek it, get born again, keep on seeking it, keep on doing your best to become Christ-like. Keep taking one step towards God, God will take one step towards you. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give us the kingdom. God has already given us the kingdom. We got the kingdom when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. How you stay in that kingdom that God has given you is based on what you say and what you do. Luke 10 verse 9. Jesus said, heal the sick and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Luke 17:20. Jesus said, the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. It doesn't come by studying what's going on around you. And the next verse, Luke 17:21, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. How did it get inside you? When you were born again, your spirit was recreated into the family of God. God came to live in your spirit. Because God is living in your spirit belongs to God. God lives there. There's no sin in your spirit, so God has total dominion. What prevents God from having dominion is sin. So when God says, do it my way, another way of saying that is, If you're obedient to me, I can maintain the kingdom around God around you and bless you. So sin destroys the kingdom. Because sin is you taking your dominion and doing things your way. Obedience is, let's do it your way so I can stay in that secret place of the Most High God, so I can dwell in the kingdom. So, the kingdom of God is within us. It has been given to us. How do we live in the kingdom? Matthew 6:33, you all know this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we seek the kingdom of God. We get born again. And we keep seeking his righteousness. And all the things you need for life will be added unto you. God doesn't want us to have needs. Needs represent lack. When you have a lack, it means you have a need. God wants you to have every lack filled, every need met, so you can move up to the level where he can give you the desires of your heart. So we move from lack into an area where we start getting the desires of our heart met. But that only happens as we draw closer to God and stay more and more in the kingdom. So the kingdom of God exists wherever God's will is enforced. Because of our free will, God has authority and dominion only when we give it to him. Many of us know people who refuse to get saved. Perhaps we've even known people who said, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe in everything you're saying, but I'm not ready yet to receive him. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 10, Jesus said, pray, our Father's will be done on earth as in heaven. God wants his will to be done on earth as in heaven. Translating that another way, God wants his dominion on earth the same way as dominion in heaven. No, we know eventually he will. Eventually God's glory will be all over the earth. His dominion will be established all over the earth. Now the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So here's the key. How do you live in the kingdom of God? You live in righteousness, peace, and joy. And what happens when you sin? You confess the sin and get back into righteousness, peace, and joy. That's why we teach, check your three spiritual thermostats. Check your joy, your peace, and your patience. Because we can tell when we're losing our joy, or our peace, or our patience. Pretty quick. As soon as you start losing your joy, your peace, and your patience, you're coming out of the kingdom of God. It means you're moving into sin. Stop and confess your sin. You may not even know why you're losing your joy, but you know you're losing it. Say, Lord, I repent of the sin that's causing me to lose my joy. In Jesus' name, I renounce the demons behind and cast them out. I pray the Spirit of God fall fresh upon me. And Lord, I'm coming back into the kingdom. I'm coming back into your joy. So check your joy, peace, and patience. You can stay in the kingdom of God if you confess your sins every time you sin, which includes every time you start to lose your joy, peace, and patience. If you go a period of time where your joy, peace, and patience seems to be okay, as best as you can tell, and you have not sinned, after a period of time, say, Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. Cleanse me of the ones I don't know about. Why? Because the diminishing of your joy, peace, and patience can be so gradual that you're like the frog in the pot of boiling water. You all know that, right? You pop a frog into a pot of water, and the frog is there splashing around, you know, doing the Olympic moves. You turn a fire under it, and you heat it up gradually. The frog, being an amphibian, his temperature will adjust. So as the water starts to heat up, he adjusts to it, and he doesn't know it's getting warmer. And he stays in that water until he dies. You take another frog and put them in the same hot water, he'll jump out immediately. But the frog that's been there from the beginning will not jump out. He'll stay there and be boiled to death because he can't tell the difference. And that's the challenge with losing your joy, peace, and patience gradually. So for God's blessings to be coming to you, for God's prosperity to be coming to you, you want to be frequently saying, Lord, cleanse me of the sins I don't know about. Believe me, the sins you don't know about are the ones that are affecting your life way more than the ones you know about. And they're much more frequent. Much more frequent. Like my friend Joe used to say, pride is like bad breath. Everybody knows you have it, but you. Right? And pride is a sin we all commit. But we're so used to committing pride that we don't even recognize it. And so as we walk in pride, our levels of joy, peace, and patience start to drop. We're coming out of the kingdom. That's just one example of why we need to confess those sins frequently. My target is about every 15 minutes to half an hour, I say, Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. Cleanse me of the ones I don't know about. Now, as we do this, as we stay in the kingdom, as we continue to let everything we have come under God's authority and dominion, as we give back to God everything He gave us, then your soul starts to prosper. You start to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, which is the best measurement of the prosperity of your soul. As your soul starts to prosper, the Bible says, so does your health and so does your finances. 3 John 2. Prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You stay in the secret place of the Most High God. You stay in the kingdom of God. You monitor your joy, your peace, and your patience. You confess your sins frequently, and you stay under that anointing, and the anointing will change you. It will change you, and God's prosperity will come to you as your soul prospers. So I'm suggesting, recommending, that daily you loose into your life. We can loose into our lives and bind from our life anything we want. Whatever you're bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. So I suggest, ABC teaching suggests, that you daily you loose into your life the will of your Heavenly Father, the powers of heaven, and the angels of God. And you bind from you and your family, your loved one, Satan and his demons, devils, and evil spirits. Also recommend you bind to you every day or sometime many times a day the mercy and prosperity of God to you. In the name of Jesus, I bind God's mercy and prosperity to me. You can bind God's mercy to parts of your body and healing will come just by doing that. Okay? Bind the mercy of God to you. Bind the prosperity of God to you. So, we have talked about what the kingdom of God is. It's where God has dominion. We've talked about how to stay, how to live in the kingdom of God, and monitoring your three thermostats, joy, peace, and patience. Now, let's talk about receiving the blessings of God. You are in the kingdom of God. How do we receive the blessings? Number one on the list are the power twins. The power twins. The power twins, everybody should know what the power twins are. The power twins are faith and patience. Faith and patience. Okay? Hebrews 6:12 says, don't be lazy, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How do we get the promises? Through faith and patience. Faith to believe the promises, faith to fulfill the conditions of the promises, and patience that having done all, you keep standing, not idly, but in a martial sense, preparing to defend what God has given you. Continue to do what you know you should do. You know, Bill, I won't tell you which Bill, but Bill, is probably the most patient person I know. And the devil is so dumb. I mean, from time to time he attacks Bill. I don't know why he does it. He knows he's going to lose. It's just a question of how long. I guess he's trying to be an irritant. But how can you beat a man who has the faith and patience that Bill has? He's going to wear the stupid devil down. You know, and Bill always comes out on top. But the devil hasn't quite learned yet. So, faith and patience, you inherit the promise. Remember a number of years ago, the devil told Bill, and spoke to a doctor that he wasn't going to make it. Well, Betty's still here, going strong, getting better every day. That was years ago. So, faith and patience, you inherit the promise. But what exactly is faith? The prayer of faith is Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24 says, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have it. That's the prayer of faith. So your faith is that which triggers that sequence of events. So you have a desire, you pray for it, and when you pray, you believe God's promises, which is that when you pray, I give it to you. So it's done. As soon as you pray, it's done. You thank God for it because it's done. If you believe it's done when you pray for it, then eventually, sometime in the future, you will see the manifestation. But a key here, a major key, is the word desire. That word desire is not used in too many places in the Bible. The first time I checked it, before we had computers, I thought it was only used in one other place. No, I believe it's used in more than once, but I haven't rechecked it. But the word there is fervent, a fervent desire, a burning desire. It's not just a desire, it's a burning desire. You really, really want it. It's not a wishy-washy want. It's I really want it. I really desire it. When you have that burning desire, then you'll believe you receive, and then you'll speak and act as if you believe. So that's the start of receiving your blessings, the power twins. Here's an example of a fervent, burning desire. From Matthew 11:12, from the Amplified Bible. From the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. Violent assault. And violent men seize it by force. As a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Now, think about yourself. How many things have you gone after in life with ardent zeal and intense exertion? How many times have you prayed and done affirmations and gone through the secondary methods of warfare, the secondary methods of healing, with ardent zeal and exertion? Do you have the ardent zeal and exertion that you start every day, say, spending half an hour or an hour or 2 hours praying with God? Do you have the ardent zeal and intense exertion to get up an hour earlier to pray with God? We all have busy schedules. But if you study the life of all the great men and women of God, you'll see they'll always identify. They may not use these words, but they'll always tell you, here is where my life, my spiritual life, and my ministry started. With something such as, they decided to get up 1 hour earlier to pray. Something as simple as that. Ardent zeal and intense exertion. That's some A to Z, huh? Ardent zeal and intense exertion. So, one is, we let the power twins change your life. We apply ardent zeal and intense exertion. And apply the ardent zeal and intense exertion in being a God chaser. Being a God chaser. Here's an example of being a God chaser. From Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently, that's listen, hear and do, hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set thee on high above all nations. And all these blessings, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Hearken means you hear it, you pay attention, and you do it. If you do that, it says the blessings shall overtake you. God has already commanded the blessings to chase you down. My job, your job, is to chase God down. If we chase God down, then the blessings will chase us down. So be a God chaser. Number four, be obedient to God. Be obedient to God. From Exodus 15:26. And God says, if you will diligently hearken, here are two words that most people don't like, diligent, which is hard work, and hearken means to do, obey, to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. God's promise. This is where the name Jehovah Rapha comes from, the God that heals you. No, he's the God that heals you, but he's also the God that prospers you. Deuteronomy 30, verse 9, tells the ways in which God wants to prosper you. And he's the God that has given you the power to get wealth. God has given you and given me the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8, verses 10 through 18. Deuteronomy 8, let's go from 10 to 18. So in verse 10, God says, when you have eaten and are full, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. So all the wonderful promises of God that God has given us, all the wonderful things he's done for us, salvation, going to heaven, food on our table, shoes on our feet. Beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments. So it says, when you're eaten and you're full, don't forget to keep his commandments and his judgments, which I command thee this day. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and you are full, and you have built goodly houses and dwelt in, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. God is the God of increase. He wants to increase and multiply everything you have. Then when all these things happen, then you kick back, and your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. First, he brought us out of the land of going to hell, okay? Into the land of salvation. From the house of bondage, we were in bondage to the devil, up to our eyes and beyond in sin, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, okay? And we can skip through down here, okay? He's talking more specifically about the nation of Israel, but we are grafted in the family of Abraham, and all of that was a foreshadowing of us coming out of our own bondage. So when you've done all that, and you forget, in verse 17, and you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has got me this wealth. In other words, it's your intelligence. It's your talent. It's your creativity. It's your hard work. Okay? It's the job you have. All these things have gotten you where you have. And God says, no, no, no. You've got it all because I gave it to you. But you shall remember your Lord, thy God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth. He's given us the power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. God wants you to be wealthy to establish his covenant, which that Abraham and his offsprings were all intended to be wealthy. And we are grafted into the family of Abraham, and God wants us wealthy. He wants us so wealthy that the Gentiles will envy us and come to us to find out how come we have so many blessings in our life. Amen? So here's a note. Confess as a sin every word or action which is disobedient to God's word. Number five, overcome fear. So one is, let the power twins change your life. Have a burning desire for godly wealth to be used for godly purposes. Be a God chaser. Don't chase the wealth, chase God. You chase God, but have a burning desire for that prosperity. Be obedient to God, and now overcome fear. For fear will erode, corrode, destroy your faith. Your power twins will fall apart if you walk in fear. So from Joshua 1 verse 7 through 1 verse 9, God is saying to Joshua, who's taking over from Moses. Those are big shoes to fill. He's taking over from Moses. And this is God's blueprint for success. He says, Joshua, everywhere you put your foot, that land I have already given to you. In other words, everywhere you shall put your foot in the future, I have already given to you. Everywhere you get wealth, everywhere you move into the promise of God, God already gave it all to you 2,000 years ago through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're blessed with everything you need for life and godliness. What you have to do is put your foot on it and grab it by the neck and say, this belongs to me. And kick the devil out of it. Every time you grab that promise, God has already given it to you. That's Joshua 1 verse 3. Okay? No, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. See, it takes strength and courage to do everything the law says. Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. It takes courage to stick to God's word. When people are telling you, oh, you know, you need to have surgery, or, you know, wonderful example is that movie called Chariots of Fire. The man goes to the Olympics, and they scheduled his race, like one of the fastest men in the world, and they scheduled his race on the Sabbath. And he's a Jew. And he says, I'm not going to run on the Sabbath. And he gave up the Olympics because he would not run on the Sabbath. It takes courage to do that. And how many times it takes courage to say, no, God wants me here. I'm not going with all these people. You and I, it takes courage for us to be where God wants us to be. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. The word of God should not depart out of your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night. Cecil was telling me that he does so many affirmations, he dreams affirmations. He dreams affirmations. Okay? Yeah, use them in your dreams. Yes, absolutely. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. That's what we want. Prosperity, God's wealth for these ending days. For these ending days. Because there will be many people in the body of Christ who will not know how to have their needs met, and have protection, and have food. And God is raising up people in a Joseph ministry who can provide the money and the teaching and the knowledge and the places of protection to help the body of Christ as things get worse here and around the world. Joshua 1 verse 9. It's a good place to mention in terms of that, what protection. Is that we pray for protection around the country of Guinea-Bissau. We have two Guinea-Bissau missionaries who will be with us next Friday. They're coming from West Africa. The Ebola plague in West Africa started in Guinea, which is next door to Guinea-Bissau. Guinea is a big country compared to little Guinea-Bissau. But we prayed that it would not go into Guinea-Bissau. And it all went south. Not one instance of Ebola in Guinea-Bissau. Okay? Because people prayed protection around the country. Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. In three verses, he says it three times. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Oh, here's another one. Be not dismayed. That's just another word for not being afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be so fearful you give up. So that's four times in three verses. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with you wherever you go. As long as you're speaking God's word. As long as you're turning control over to Him. You know that the time when Israel rebelled, didn't do things God's way, and they were on their own. But God is saying to Joshua, I will be with you, and Joshua never turned his back on God. And they cleansed the land in 7 years. So watch your fear. Confess fear as a sin, renounce it, and renounce the demons behind it. So demons, I cast you out of my life. Cast you out of this country. Number six, earn your HD degree. Earn your HD degree by being a hearer and a doer. Earn your HD degree. Be a hearer and a doer. Here's how the Lord Jesus put it. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. The rock of God's word is what we need to do. The rock of Jesus. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Understand that challenges will come to your finances. Challenges will come to every area of your life. You think because somebody is worth $10 million, they don't have financial challenges. We all have financial challenges. They're just in different scales. I remember when Reinhard Bonnke had the world's largest tent for his outdoor meeting. A tent costs $2 million, I guess. And the first time they used it, or right after they used it, a big hurricane, if you will, came up and destroyed the top of the tent. So he came to the States and he was having breakfast with Brother Copeland. And he's telling Brother Copeland that the top of his tent was destroyed. He needs to raise $1 million to buy another top. And Copeland at breakfast said, prayed, and the Lord said, give it to him. And he said, I will pay for it. So he's giving $1 million cash to Reinhard Bonnke to restore the top of his tent. Later on, Kenneth Copeland said, when he did that, he didn't even know how he was going to meet his monthly bills. Kenneth Copeland did not know how he was going to meet the monthly bills. Of course, his monthly bills were probably like $10 million a month. Okay? But my point is, Reinhard Bonnke had a need. He needed $1 million. Kenneth Copeland solved it, but he had a need. He needed $10 million. See? Because the devil will attack everybody with everything. But we all respond the same way with the power twins of faith and patience. We hear the word and we act on it. We stay in the kingdom of God and prosperity will change your soul, your health, and your finances. So we suggest you affirm, in the name of Jesus, my God has given me the power to get wealth. In the name of Jesus, my God has given me the power to get wealth. Now the assumption is that you've been affirming, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So after you affirm that long enough, all your needs are met. Then you go up to another higher level, which is, in the name of Jesus, I bound to every good work. Or God has given me the power to get wealth. It's a progression. We all need to affirm the word of God. We don't necessarily all affirm the same word, right? Thank you very much for your time. God bless you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word.